My name is Nick Gaitan. We're standing at the corner of Jensen Drive and Ann Street in Houston's 2nd Ward in front of what was once known as the Alamo Garage on 2411 Ann Street, directly behind Our Lady of Guadalupe. This building was built by my grandfather, Fermin Treviño, and some other men in the late 40s. And that's when he created his business. You know, he started his business, the Alamo Garage, where they were doing body work, mechanic work, anything having to do with automobiles. My mom would tell me that there were Cadillacs and GTOs all over this place. Upstairs is the house. It's where my mother grew up, the house she pretty much grew up in and lived in most of her young life before getting married. This is the house that my dad came to pick up my mom, taking her out on, you know, first dates and things like that. Because he was from the area. He grew up in Clayton Homes and eventually in Magnolia and off of Sherman and one of the avenues, Avenue H, I believe. So this place was a mechanic garage until about the 80s before my grandfather got sick with cancer, you know, and he ended up passing away. I just kind of, I come back and just stand around and, you know, I drive by it a lot. It's a beautiful building. It's this gray and blue, it's really pretty. But it was always white as far as I remember. This is the house we would come to on the weekends. After my grandfather passed away in 1983, you know, my grandma still stayed here with an uncle that passed away now. They've all passed away, really. And we would come here weekends or just whenever to see my grandmother. Across the street, there would be concerts on Sundays. Guadalupe Plaza, you know, Selena played there, Ramon Ayala. I mean, at one point I started playing there when they were having concerts. So this corner, I mean, it's just, it's a significant, you know, it puts me in a certain place, you know. It reminds me a lot of childhood. There were houses all right here that were, they're pretty old houses, but then the church bought them. So they started making just more parking lots and stuff. This big structure back here was not there. It was a junkyard, you know, a metal yard or whatever. Man, it's just, they just tore that thing down. Yeah, the garage down here, it was the Alamo Garage. And I have a picture of the sign. Yeah, see. All right, so we go to the cemetery. Okay, we're walking down Ann Street toward St. Charles on the rear side of Our Lady of Guadalupe Church School. See, none of that. Of course, none of that was there. Still being built. Bayou over there? The trail, you know, goes on over there. It's pretty cool. It's one of the deepest parts of Buffalo where, I guess, the big ships used to come through. And if you ride the trail toward the east, you see those, I don't know what they're called, where the boats, they tie off. They're really big, so I mean, it's probably for big ships. My dad and them used to swim in the bayou back then. Yeah, he says we stopped after we saw the train, like, dumping the restroom stuff out. Yeah. Okay, turning right on North St. Charles, the 300th block. We're on the side of the St. Vincent Cemetery. Puppy! Hey! It's cool, man, cool. So yeah, it's a trip because the St. Vincent Cemetery was once considered out of city limits, which now is so far within the city. And it's a Catholic cemetery, of course, next to Our Lady of Guadalupe. And Dick Dowling is buried here, hero of Sabine Pass. You know, the Battle of Sabine Pass. I mean, there's obviously tons of people buried here, but I know Dick Dowling is one guy that I heard that was part of the Civil War that, you know, his grave is somewhere in the middle there. Let's see, St. Vincent's, founded 1852. Yeah, Dick Dowling, Samuel Pushaw, San Jacinto veteran, and other Houston pioneers. A lot of Irish here. Yeah, St. Michael. Let's go walk in there. The church, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Spanish-speaking population, they needed a church to serve them. I think it's in its 100th anniversary, you know, and it's been around a while. It's where my mother went to school, and also they attended church there weekly, I'm sure. It's one of the older Catholic churches. I don't know if it predates Annunciation Church by the baseball stadium. I've been to funerals here, walked out of weddings here. There's something really beautiful on the front side. Let's go see if it's there right quick. So there used to be a tree behind this, behind the Virgen, and it was kind of shaped like they did it on purpose. It looked like the leaves of the tree were going out like the sun rays behind her, you know? Pretty cool. Our Lady of Guadalupe. So pretty. 1923. I saw an old lady praying here one time up against the fence. I didn't want to be rude and take a picture of her, you know? It was just really beautiful. Right on the corner. We're standing at Navigation and Jensen Drive. My mom, she said they used to play in the cemetery when they were little girls. And they would bury their pets down in the cemetery. She says, my little kitties are still buried there. Oh, real quick, you can't really see it. It's all hidden by construction. But that building, yeah, that brown building with the phone number on top of it. So we're facing downtown at Navigation and Jensen, looking over at the brown brick building that was once the Mercado del Sol. And that was open only for a few years. And I have, you know, snapshot memories of it as a kid. They're trying to do the marketplace thing, like you know, the way San Antonio has it going on. But something led them to closing early. I mean, I have, you know, very, very limited memories on it. I was so small. It was right at the time that they built Guadalupe Plaza, which was a really cool thing. I mean, I think they built the plaza in 86, you know, so that would have made me 6 years old. There was a lot going on there before. It just kind of went away. I guess interest went away, people moving away, and, you know, it was definitely an underappreciated park, you know. There were concerts there every weekend when Tejano was really banging, you know. Like in Tejano's strongest era, they were playing here every week. I mean, different bands, big bands, you know. So, I mean, that place would be so full. Everybody from the neighborhood and all around the city would come around, you know. TBH, that was once a store called Oscars. Yep, but it didn't become TBH until late 90s, I think. Mid-late 90s. Go over there with my Uncle Ernest and get pickles. It was just a grocery store, but he knew I liked pickles. So we'd go walk over there and get some pickles. And then he'd try to make his own, too. They were soft, kind of gross. But we ate them when there weren't other pickles around. Yeah, so the Diocese of Galveston in Houston, there was the first Houston-born Monsignor, was named Anton Frank, and he's buried on the north side at Hollywood Cemetery. I have a book that Sigbird inscribed to him. His father was a priest in Galveston before the big hurricane at the early part of the century, and they lost family members and people went missing and things like, you know. Then he ended up. Of Anton Frank moved here. He lived off of Elysian Street, or one of these streets whenever you cross the Elysian Street Viaduct when you're over in the Frosttown, you know, James Butte Park. Yeah, we're more Catholic by tradition, by default, than you know, by practice. I'm a good boy, just don't go to church. I love looking at the city. It's hard to remember what it looked like almost over here whenever none of these townhomes were there. Standing at Runnels and Navigation where they meet, facing Guadalupe. To my right, there's a field that my dad told me was once, there was a place here called Lupe's Fruit Stand that a lot of old Second Ward folks probably still remember. But I don't know what that's become long since then. I mean, it wasn't around when I was a kid. Around more like when my dad was a kid. Yeah, we should cross. That's what it's gonna look like, huh? The like Discovery Green or something. Oh, so they're still gonna call it Guadalupe Plaza Park. Yeah. Huh. That should be cool. It's always nice to see a park get redone. I just really like the Aztec looking stuff that they had. And somebody recently had a beer fest here, and that was pretty cool. I mean, when it was still up, you know, before it got broken down. Plaza was founded in 86. And it was like, I mean, it was poor. And, I mean, now this is all changed from in 86, Second Ward at certain points. I mean, it's still community and all, but it was a little rougher in certain spots, you know. Now we're walking down Runnels towards Clayton Homes. One of the places that my grandfather moved our family to whenever he moved up from Laredo in 53. Yeah, this is all newer development. All these lofts that were old warehouses and all of that. Wonder what was here a long time ago. I know my dad would know. Won't be long. There'll be something else there. Standing at the railroad at Runnels. Clayton Holmes is behind me. We're right at the railroad track. I have a picture of this building, a scanned slide of my uncle standing around this building, and that's in the background. Yeah, but they had docks and everything too. So we're walking toward downtown on Runnels. Clayton Holmes is to my right. This is the community building. I mean, there were apartments here before this community building was there. I think they had their community center somewhere else whenever my dad and them were living here. But my dad lived in apartment 23, well, my grandfather's, you know, and his family, which included my dad, my uncles, and my aunt Hilda, lived in apartment 23, and he said it was up here in the front side. I have a picture of him in front of it. My grandma, she's all young. They were built in, they were built in 53. Now these were built because people were getting moved out of their houses in El Barrio del Alacrán over here because the Highway 59 was getting built. Because once you start getting on the freeway here and you look over, it looks just like pictures from 1960. They're projects, you know, so they haven't really changed all that much, but the front, like I said, the front buildings are got kind of rebuilt. All right, so we'll cross over and we'll go to James Butte Park. Now, Alacran was the nickname for this area, but I think on the map it's called Shrimp Field. S-C-H-R-I-M-P-F. I have a picture of my dad and my grandfather standing right around here, getting a kite, you know, fixing to fly a kite. But I saw that you see the street markers where they're starting to build it. Yeah, like just blockade, you know, deals. All right, so headed towards James Butte Park, also known as Frosttown. We are on Shrimp Field, walking underneath I-10, Highway 59, and pretty close to the Elysian Street Viaduct. This is what was built, you know, when they tore Alacran down. Yeah, this wasn't here, so there were houses all around here. We're standing here at the marker of El Barrio del Alacran. They got this marker dedicated in 2013. And there are pictures of Alacran online that J.R. Gonzalez has pulled up. So that was all right here. Houses there was a baseball field. There was a bunch of cantinas, I heard. And there's still some of the, you'll see a marker. Oh, like that one right there. That gray. There's some in the park too that mark where the streets were. Barrio del Alacran. One of the things I read was that they call it that because there was scorpions in the outhouses, because they had outhouses and not, you know, regular plumbing. But then I also heard that the black folks called it Rat Alley. They said the rats were huge. I mean, I'm sure on the bayou they're living like fat cats, you know. I'm imagining like Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, rodents living on the bayou. Now this area, this is James Butte Park. We're walking into James Butte Park, coming from Navigation. Now originally James Butte Park, well that was dedicated I think in the 80s when they give it that name. But this is the site, was what was once known as Frosttown. And I picked up information on this area through a couple of people, Lewis Albach and Kirk Ferris. Kirk Ferris is the one that got this park dedicated, James Butte. Now, after San Jacinto, land grants were given to some of the veterans, and this area was given to a man by the name of Jonathan Frost. So, they had houses built, there was a brewery, there's a cemetery that, you know, so I'm sure there are like graves down there somewhere. Of course, not marked anymore. And yeah, so they moved in here and it eventually got sold off because they were getting more desirable land over in like hill country, you know, Fredericksburg and all that. But see, they started here and then they ended up moving, you know, further, you know, west. But well, when they came here, they were coming from, like, I think John Frost. Frost was German. I think he came from Tennessee. A lot of people did for San Jacinto because you had the Battle of the Alamo, and then shortly after, you had San Jacinto. So people were coming from Tennessee because they were offering them land grants if they fought in the war. And so a lot of them took them up on it. And in the early Houston, I mean, that had to just be, I mean, that's a big slab of land, you know, for anybody. So they had multiple properties on here. And again, eventually the neighborhood was changing, because when the German folk were moving out, Mexican folks started moving in, coming up after the Mexican Revolution. I think they sold it to different landlords, moved on down, and then it just, you know, the growing city, it was just, you know, it became isolated a little bit. And then with Highway 59 being built, they tore down the rest of whatever was left. Here's one of my favorite spots in the bayou. We're standing on McKee Street Bridge, which is high enough off the water for boats to go under, for larger ships. I don't think anybody comes down this way anymore on a boat. They use the ship channel, Port of Houston. Now, this is where Joe Campos Torres, then they said they found him handcuffed, where Joe Campos Torres was beaten and thrown into the bayou. The Moody Park riot was a result of that. Damn, somebody tagged it. At least they went with the same colors. Is that considered graffiti? It's like, at least they made it match. I like getting on here and riding my bike down that trail. See a lot of little rabbits down there, huh? Pretty orange bayou flowers. Oh, there's something underneath this bridge that says, that has a guy's name. He was a, like, they call him the King of the Drifters or something like that. He was like an old, like, hitchhiker hobo dude from back in the day that I guess came through Houston and would leave his mark. Let's go back. Morning. UH downtown on the right, jail on the left, and here we're at the turning basin of Buffalo Bayou, headed right into North Main, where the bayou, Allen's Landing, where White Oak and Buffalo meet. It's dirty, but it's still a pretty sight to me, you know? Something about it, just really, really like it. I see a lot of different birds when I'm by the bayou or at a cemetery that's by the bayou, you know, cause, and those cranes, and I don't know the different types of birds, but I see a bunch of random, you know, interesting birds. I love going to Mason Park. One of my hangs. I still go walk there in some mornings. A lot of my friends are moving into the hood. It's kind of cool. Over there by Lawndale. Lightning Hopkins is buried at Forest Park on Lawndale. Mm-hmm. Yep. Badass. And somewhere, like, within feet of him, I hear, is the guy that owned Gold Star Records, which is now Sugar Hill Studios. I'm sure you know some of those people. It's hard to imagine this as Frost Town or Alacran and any of the eras that it has been through. And can you imagine at that time, none of these buildings were there. So you're looking at a lot of flat land. A big dome building over there is the criminal court building. And it's funny because you can see it from the baseball stadium, but even if you're playing a Xbox or a PS3 or something, you could see it in the video game when you're playing at Minute Maid Park. Oh, look, let me show you this. So somebody put this street marker of Gable and Race, and next time sit down and look at a map of Alacran or Frost Town, find this corner. I love it's still wide open over here though. Looks like the mobile church to feed the homeless. Now, if you go down there, a lot of them are living, like, in the little, you know, in the concrete, you know, I guess, cleaner side of the bridge. Seems if I didn't have a home, I'd probably want to hang out here, too. When you go toward the bank of the bayou, you see a lot of little shanties that they made. But then they also, you know, nothing gets under those bridges, so people sleep in there probably peacefully. I got really into the history of El Barrio de la Alacran. When I discovered it, I was reading a lot about the history of Buffalo Bayou. Look at that, Vine Street. That's another one. Spruce. Huh. That's so interesting. Now I have to imagine this not being there, you know? Runnels and... Yeah, I got into the history of this area. Because you know, the sign gives it a... You know, this was a... You know, the place where working class lived and, you know... That's all... It's all true and stuff, but there's a little legend kind of status of the place that it was so damn rough down here that the cops wouldn't even come through when it was Alacran, not so much Frost Town or nothing, but like, if you look, it's just a little neighborhood, narrow streets, a lot of them are dirt roads, you know, just like those pictures in the Chronicle. There's a horse carriage next to an automobile, you know, so they were... I would say that's just, you know, based on income, I mean, I'm imagining people still, I mean, in that back in the day, you could still ride horses in the city. I'm sure regulations and all that were different. That's the mistake that people make, is assuming that just because people are poor, they don't take pride in their environment. Same thing with Clayton Homes. It's Project Homes, but my dad said, we weren't rich, we were poor, if anything, but We took pride in what we had. He said my grandma would sweep, keep their little area clean. You had a little square yard, you know, keep your area clean. You're right. People in this community, it doesn't have to always be big townhomes snapped together and fancy stuff. That's not for everybody. The Fourth Ward was very much, you know, it has its dangerous areas like anything else. But man, that place has changed. Driving down Gillette Street is a whole different experience now. All right, we're headed back, you know, going east in Second Ward on Runnels. Clayton Homes to my left. Beautiful day. And we're creeping up on Guadalupe Plaza again. One thing I remember about this neighborhood, musically speaking, is there was always the sound of, and growing up in, you know, I was born in 79, so I saw the 80s as a kid. And grew up in the 90s, things started changing. Houston was changing all around us, especially late 90s. A lot of the development started around then. But musically speaking, what I hear in Second Ward, what I used to hear in Second Ward all the time, was a lot of Tejano music. Of course, that was its heyday, was when Tejano was banging in the late 80s and early 90s. I mean, there was still a huge scene, and it was a lot of support. It was still on the radio. Much like it is in San Antonio and Corpus now. Just the same, only we had, you know, we had our stuff here. Same bands, all of that. There was just a big market for it. The sound of Tejano, the sound of that polka beat that Mexicans got from the Germans, you know. That sound of the accordion, that was that's a German instrument, of course, and brought our European instrument in general, and brought, you know, the Mexican migrant workers picked it up back in the day when settling Texas. Now, this isn't my memory, but my dad, you know, raising us, he always turned us on to music, Motown, a lot of soul, some rock and roll, different things like that. Seems like that was the sound of the barrio at one point, you know what I mean? A lot of black music that influenced a lot of things in the country. A lot of sounds and styles, but it seems like that was the main music of the time. My dad loved soul music and old R&B, jazz. Now, I've read about a guy named Eloy Perez that was a musician, a band leader, here in Second Ward or in Magnolia. I want to say it maybe in Magnolia, further down. He was kind of at that era where Tejano, or where conjunto music was meeting big band. So it kind of, it was more orchestra-like. You had a big band, you had a string bass, horns, all of that. And the accordion was mixed in there. But that guy would play around town a bunch. I can't find a single recording by him, you know? Can't. It's just something that I read about a guy in the area. A lot of my musical memories in Second Ward are pretty much recent, as when I was a musician, because I play out here a lot. But all I can, what I do remember other than that is whenever I was younger, was just the stuff that people would listen to around here, really, you know. Lonely Graves. I wonder if some of these people, if their relatives, you know, their relatives now know about them, or have they all moved away and these are some people's distant grandfathers, uncles, things like that. Look at that. That grave's from 85. Wow. This is the area that I kind of just have more, a little bit of knowledge about. This way, I've seen things going, you know, facing east on Navigation. I know Meridas has been here since as long as I can remember. Of course, you have your original Ninfas. And, yeah, all businesses, really. Oh, this street, there was still a whole lot of parts of it that were, because this was once all brick, you know. My mom and dad remember that. I mean, just rolling down the street, all brick. And there's still certain pockets where the, you know, it's lifted up and you see, you know, it's exposed. Kind of like in Fourth Ward, where they have those different patterns. Because, you know, they did something for tradition or worship. The slaves, when they moved, you know, they were freed. There's something about the pattern of the bricks on some of those streets. My name is Nick Gaitan, and I just wanted to share a few memories about Second Ward and how it's changing and just how I remember it. My family's been here since, you know, my family's been a Second Ward family. My family moved here from, my grandfather on my dad's side moved here from Laredo in early mid-50s. and my mother was born and raised in Second Ward, and the house that she grew up in still stands at Jensen and Ann Street that I talked about previously. I think that's about it.